say amen to the devotional. It was very fitting for this service this morning. A number of years ago, in our farm, we had a lawsuit against us. Young girl came up behind us and just ran into one of our tractors, one of our pieces of equipment, destroyed it. But as a result of that, it's a long story, she sued us and said that there was not sufficient slowing vehicle signs and lights and so forth. We had this in our mind. I mean, it was a fairly large lawsuit, and we were worried about this lawsuit and how much it would be, how much they would settle for. We had lawyers that advised us, and she had lawyers that advised us. She had an insurance company involved. One day the lawyers on the both sides got together, and they said to us, they asked them, the defendants and the plaintiffs, to get together. There was a man appointed. I'm not sure if he was a lawyer or not, but he was appointed to be a mediator. So he mediated. We sat there at a table. We went into the courtroom. We sat there at a table. We were on one side. The plaintiffs were on the other side. And the mediator said, "What does it take to settle this? We need to get together. We want to settle this." So as a result, we got it settled. That lawsuit was settled in a way that we both thought was appropriate. And I had my devotions the other day, and I was reading in the book of Job, and I came across this powerful verse in Job 9. I want you to turn there. That's my text for this morning. I don't know that I ever preached a communion service from the book of Job. But nevertheless, I'm going to this morning, and I hope it makes sense. I was looking forward to having Nelson preach this morning. But I want to follow this thought of a mediator. Job 9 and verse 32 and through 35. "For he is not a man," speaking about God, "as I am, that I should answer him, that we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us that might lay his hand upon us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not his fear terrify me. Then would I speak and not fear him, for it is not so with me." The daysman betwixt us is the title of the sermon this morning. The daysman betwixt us. Job had this plea that there would be a daysman, that there would be a mediator between him and God. And I'm going to ask Brother Delbert and Ron to come up here and stand about 2.5 feet apart and look at each other right in the eye. Just come over here. Now these are two parties here that have a, let's just pretend, I'm glad they don't, but that, let's just pretend they have a problem with each other, that they're not getting along. And so they need a mediator. They need an equal to lay their hand on them and say, "Ron, will you settle with Delbert? Or Delbert, will you settle with Ron?" That is the role of the mediator. That I am a poor excuse of a mediator, but nevertheless, they need a mediator. But Job had this problem. He said, God is not a man. God is not a man that he can settle with me. In other words, if Delbert would be God, he couldn't deal with Rod because there's too much difference. So Job's cry and his complaint was, there is not a man that can lay his hands on us both and bring us to reconciliation. So you can sit down. Thank you. The daysman betwixt us is Jesus Christ. You. There must be a daysman between you and the holiness of God. And it's the man, Jesus Christ. Daysman sets the arbitration rules. He is the umpire. Job expresses this desperation that he cannot find an equal. He cannot find an equal to bring him into a relationship with God. God is holy. God is righteous. And I'm poor man. I'm a sinner. And I can't come together with God. That's what Job's complaint was here. He says, for he is not a man. God is not a man. He's not an equal with me. And he needs an equal to bring the mediation efforts. Now, in a case in the past, I guess they called this man the daysman that was in court, and they would point a mediator like I tried to be up here. I'd lay my hands on them both and deal with them and talk to them, trying to convince them to come together. But Job complained. He said, God is not a man. I'm a man. I got problems. God is holy. He is righteous. And there's problems with that. And they said that in years gone by, in some countries, I think England was one of them, that when they would appoint a mediator before the court, they would stand just like we were were up here, in a ceremonial way, they would appoint the mediator, the daysman between two conflicting at odds parties. Now, we know the story of Job. And I think you all understand the story of Job. Job was in a contest between, an unknown contest between Satan and God himself. God had told Job, he challenged Job. First, Satan had said, Job, he gets everything from you. He won't. And Satan said, you let me affect him and I'll promise you that Job will deny God. That was the contest. So I don't want to preach about the book of Job so much this morning, but I want this very clear that God is not a man. We need a daysman. We need someone that is equal to each of us. To bring us together. It's an equal that can bring each other together. I would like to look, divide this message into three parts this morning. I would like to look at man's dilemma, our daysman, and then our deliverance. Very simple outline. Three D's. Our dilemma, our predicament. Dear ones, this morning, you and me are in a predicament. We got problems. And I want to look at this this morning. I just want to go back into Job 9 and look at verse 2 and said, I know it is of a truth, but how should man be just with God? How can I be just with God? How can I be right with God? You know, God's way up here, and I'm a worm, I'm a man, I've sinned. How can I be just? How can I come be justified by God? He said then in verse 3, if he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand. Oh, God knows a thousand times more than I do. Every time I ask him a question, he knows the answer, I don't. He is wise in heart, and so forth like that. Verse 9 says, which maketh Arcturus and Orion and Pleiades and the chambers of the south, the stars in the sky are set by God. Who am I? How can I be justified with him? Which doeth great things, verse 10, past finding out, yea, and wonders without number. How can I be right with God? How can I be just with God? Verse 14, how much less shall I answer him and choose out my words to reason with him? When I think of God, I think of holiness, greatness, creation, all that thing. And then I think about me, I just stand there in awe. How shall I choose out my words to reason with him? Verse 20 of Job says, if I justify myself, mine own mouth shall condemn me. If I say I am perfect, it shall prove me perverse. Perverse, not true. If I justify myself, I know myself good enough to know that I've got problems, and God knows it too, and everybody's going to know that I said a lie. And we could go on. In verse 30, if I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet thou shalt plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. I can't do anything about my problem. I have a problem that is a problem that I can't do anything about. I need a daysman to stand between the holiness of God and myself. Dear ones, this morning, have you come to that place in your life where God is holy and you realize that you are not? You are not. I'm going to finish up looking at Jesus. I want to look at our dilemma. The psalmist says in Psalm 40 that we were in a horrible pit. How many of you have ever went duck hunting in a swamp? I used to love to go duck hunting. You get those hip waders on and you go out in the swamp, and sometimes that muck would just about drag you down. You could hardly move. In a horrible pit, stuck in a swamp. That's what we are. That's us. The psalmist says, he brought me out of the miry clay, out of the horrible pit, and set my feet upon a rock. Praise God. Praise God. Isaiah says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God
separation from God. It's your iniquities. It's your problem. And the bad thing about it is you can't do a thing about it.
Hosea said, he has withdrawn himself from them. He has withdrawn himself. He went back to heaven and he lets you at your own peril. We're down here struggling to find the reason why we have so many problems in life. And Job says, my own works are not good enough. Jumping into the New Testament, Paul says, all have sinned. No matter if your last name is Berge or Weaver or Martin or Brubaker or Burkholder or whatever, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5:12 says, death passed upon all men. And to top it all off, in Romans 5, it says that we're not just afraid of God, we are enemies. We are enemies. We are enemies of God. Dear ones, today we have a plight and a peril that only Jesus Christ can satisfy. Thank God. Thank God. Now I want to look at ordainsmen betwixt us. And I'm confident that I don't have time to do justice to this, but I'm going to try and hit some of the high points. Ordainsmen. Jesus Christ is God himself. He is the creator. He was there when we were formed. Each one of us, when you were formed, when you were just not, your members were not known, he was there. Jesus, the creator, God, was there. And dear ones, tonight he wants to bring us together with God. With God. He is the mediator. Secondly, both parties must be agreed that he is a sufficient mediator. Listen this morning, I can take you to various places in Scripture. God has agreed that Jesus Christ is your mediator. Have you? That's the question. That's the question. I trust that this morning we're here for communion. We're celebrating the fact that Jesus died and that he is the mediator. God, both parties must be agreed that he is the mediator. God has agreed. Do we agree that he is the mediator? That he is the once for all mediator? He passed, he lived a life. You know, another thing about a daysman, the third thing I want to look at is, does the daysman have the power and the authority to be a daysman? Does he have the ability to be a mediator? My Bible says that he hath given Jesus power and authority. He hath given us all power and authority. Given us all power. And we are to go forth and teach all nations and baptize them. Power and authority. Fourthly, the daysman must have the qualifications. The daysman must have the qualifications. That was Job's complaint. God is not a man that he could, you know, that I can reason with him, that I can mediate with him. You know what? The daysman to bring us to God must be two things. He must be God. He must be God. Don't let this get away. I mean, this is the principle that we must understand. He must be God, and he must be man. He must be man. Isn't that something? So God came down to Mary, and Mary was conceived of God, of the Holy Ghost. And that little child that was to be the daysman between us, the mediator between us, was born the God-man. God and man. And the Bible says, in a little phrase, he shall save his people from their sins. Let's turn over to Philippians 2. And verse 6 and following. Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. God, Jesus was in heaven one day. He was in the form of God. He was God. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God. He was equal with God. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of who? Men. That's like Tim Berge. That's like Joe Weaver. He was made in the likeness, yet he was equal with God. What a story. What a daysman. And being found and made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a serpent and was made in the likeness of men. The likeness of men with all the passions of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What a death. Accused falsely by the Romans. Accused falsely by his own countrymen. Accused falsely by all humanity. Taken to the cross, hoisted up on the cross. With his lacerated back against the cross, nails driven through his feet and his hands, a soldier pierced his side, a crown of thorns. What a death. Remember, this man was equal with God. And he did all that to become equal with you. Praise his name. Praise his name. This is the gospel, folks. And I'm glad to preach it once again to you. Let's sing a verse of "There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus."
There is not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No.
Isaiah in Isaiah 53 called him a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. That's identifying with man. That's identifying with our needs. That's not God. That's not God. But yet, why did he do it? Why did he do it? The Bible gives us clear direction why he did it. It's because he loved us. It's because he loved us.
He had a desire to do this job. It was love that was the dynamic.
It was love that manifested itself.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Does that bring tears to your eyes? There's nothing more profound, nothing more loving than God doing that. He was God. He was equal with God. Yet he came down here and suffered the death of the cross for you and for me.
He justified us so completely. When we believe in faith in his work, that he makes us holy as God is.
You mean Joe Weaver is holy as the God of heaven? That's what the Bible says. Look at Ephesians 4:24. We could go there, but we're not taking the time. The holy God of heaven, the Creator, coming down and being our daysman, he made the choice. He made the choice to be your daysman. And it's because of his love.
I want to think briefly about our deliverance today. The Bible was so full of illustrations that we could go to, and I'm thinking about the thief on the cross. The one on the left was a rebellious thief, and he looked over at Jesus, and he said, "Jesus, if you're the Christ, get us out of this mess." The other man said, "Why do you talk that way, in essence? Why do you talk that way? We indeed justly are here. This man has nothing amiss. He is innocent. We're guilty." Dear ones, tonight,
this morning. You all are guilty. I am guilty. But Jesus looked over at that man and he said, and he sensed an attitude of repentance and forgiveness. And he said, this day shall you be in paradise with me. Justified, the mediator, the daysman.
Dear ones, this morning, 1 Timothy 2:4 says, who have all men to be saved. He wants all the Burgies and the Burkholders and the Weavers and everybody else to be saved. He did everything possible that you can be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator. Listen to this. And one mediator between God and man. And who is it? The man Christ Jesus. Amen. Who gave himself a ransom for all. Jesus at the start of his ministry said this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath appointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives. The captives that are here in Cornerstone this morning are set free. Praise God. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Free indeed. Are you experiencing that this morning? Free indeed. Has the Son made you free? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made us free from the law of sin and death. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Let's think of verses of, would you be free from your burden of sin? Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Would you or evil victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, wonder-working power in the blood. In the blood.
It's unbelievable to those of us who are sinners to be justified and set free by his grace and his mercy. We should say right now, say thank you, Jesus, in all of our hearts. Have you heard the words that he said to the sinning woman that was taken in adultery? Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Beautiful words. We're here to take communion this morning. The common bread the common cup. We want to commune with all the brothers and sisters in a common way. I believe before we go to communion, we are thankful for the testimonies, the very clear and humble testimonies the other night. But I believe Alyssa Whitmer was sick, and I'll ask her to give a testimony.